Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Bishop Kevin Foreman is known as the People's Bishop. He is an author, a philanthropist, a church planter, a musician, an entrepreneur, and a coach. Welcome back to the show, Bishop Foreman.
Indeed. So glad to be with you again. Enjoyed that first round. Here we are for round two.
Here we are for round two. Refresh our memory. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, more about your work and why you do what you do.
You know what? They call me the People's Bishop because I literally care about the people that are connected and the people that I lead. To me, they're more than just numbers on a social media page or just numbers in a database that are connected to the church or the Bible college or a leader in our leadership network. To me, these are people whose lives matter to me, that matter to God. And so that's why they call me that, the People's Bishop, because when I do anything, I'm doing it with the mindset of making sure that people get results in their life, whether it's coaching from life stuff, from business stuff, CEOs, entrepreneurs, moms, whatever it is. Anything I do, I literally have it written in my notes that it is to ensure that people are able to get results in their life. And so that's why I do what I do. So here in Atlanta, Georgia now, we moved our headquarters for our church. After many, many successful years there in Denver, we moved our headquarters to Atlanta, Georgia. And so we're hybrid church in buildings and online. Already we've seen, we're close to the 13,000 mark of professions of faith that we've been able to record. So we're actually, by the time most folks see this, we will have already crossed that number. We're like 80 away. And so, you know, we see lives change and transform on a daily basis. We've got the church, which will be launching a new location here in the Atlanta, Georgia area. We've got the Bible College, which is training people from their associate to doctoral level degrees. We've got our foundation, which is doing great work in the community, giving away already over $1 million in missions, both domestic and abroad. Half of 250,000 pounds of food given away, quarter of a million articles of clothing given away, thousands of families we've adopted and met their needs. So we've got that. Then in addition to that, we've got our leadership network where we train and develop leaders, the one-on-one coaching that I do. So there's a lot that I do all day, every day, but it's all geared at changing people's lives. I'm the author, we've got the books that are out. My latest one, History Makers, we haven't even formally released it yet, but the pre-sales are doing amazing. Just empowering people to live their very best lives. And so that's literally what I'm here for. To me, in my notes, it literally says, if it changes someone's life, it's a green light. It's not a red light. Most people live on red light. I live on green light.
Well, I love everything about that. Most people live on red. Why?
Yeah.
Why is that?
You know what? I think for most, we're waiting on permission to do something we already have permission to do. And it shows up in very subtle ways. Like you see somebody else do it, then you say, I could do it. But why did you need to see them do it to know that you could do it? You had permission. There's one of my favorite scriptures is this scripture in John 10:10. And Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, that's interesting because he's talking to living people. So evidently, he's talking about something more than just breathing. He's saying there's a quality of life that transcends just breathing, which means you can be breathing but not living. And so he says, I'm come that you might have life. It's this Greek word, zoe. It means you're so full of life that you're literally bringing other people to life. And so I think for most of us, we live on red lights because things that happen in life, they make us insecure. That can cause us to have, you know, a feeling of inadequacy, a telephobia, a feeling of not being good enough. All of these things that can happen in life. So we sit in a seat of passivity, waiting on permission to do something versus getting in the driver's seat and putting our foot on the pedal and saying, it's a green light, unless it's a red light. I like to often say it like this. And again, I generally approach everything from a spiritual standpoint because I think that life is very spiritual. Everything about life is spiritual, regardless of a person's belief set. I think everything is spiritual. You know, God starts with go. Geo, it starts with go. So I live from this mentality that it is always go. It's always action. It's always movement. And I just think for most of us, we get caught up in the red light thing. You know, we're waiting on permission to do something we literally already have permission to do. And it's very easy to do that and not even know you're doing it. I mean, how many people even listening right now, you've been holding yourself back from, well, you know, I'm gonna write that book soon. You know what? I'm gonna take that class soon. You know what? I'm gonna reconcile that relationship soon. You know, I'm gonna reach out. What are you waiting on? Go. It's a green light. And all of us can relate to traffic because, you know, we all think we're the best drivers, right? We always think it's everybody else that can't drive. These people can't drive. They can't drive. They can't drive. What are they doing? And everybody thinks that. But we all can relate to somebody who's in traffic. They're not paying attention. They're not going. And they're impeding and they're stopping up traffic. They're stopping up the lane. I think life is a lot like that, is that some of the noise that you're hearing is because you're not going. Some of the frustration that you're feeling is because you're not going. You're living on a red light and the light has been green.
Well, there's so much good stuff in there. God starts with go, you know. So beautiful, and it's true.
So simple, right? It's so simple.
So Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life, that you might." Yeah. So it's incumbent on us to push the gas pedal, to take that first step. Nobody's going to do it for us.
Yeah. Nobody. Here's the way I like to view it. He's already done his part. So now it's on us. And there's so many stories, right, of this principle in play that we could use. But one of them that comes to mind really easily is in John chapter 5, there's this guy who's been sitting by the pool for 38 years. And the story is that once a year, an angel would come down, stir up the water. Whoever got in the pool first, that person was healed. There were five types of people there: sick, lame, paralyzed, and blind. The fifth type was what this guy was. The scripture says he had a spirit of infirmity. Now, infirmity is unique because infirmity isn't an issue. It's the handicap your mind creates about an issue. So Jesus skips over all these people, goes to this guy, and says, this is the question. Do you want to be well? Now, he skips everybody else. He goes to this guy and says, do you even want it? And watch the guy's responses. It reveals for 38 years, he's been on a red light. For 38 years, he decided not to live, just to breathe and just to exist. He says, I have nobody to put me in the pool. So first thing is he's saying, I've been on a red light my entire life because no one else did it for me. I'm waiting on somebody else to come. I'm waiting on somebody else to help me. I'm waiting on somebody else to open a door. I'm waiting on somebody else to invite me to a podcast. I'm waiting on somebody else to give me the money, whatever. I'm waiting on somebody else. Then his second excuse is, and when I am going, somebody else steps in front of me. Now here's what's crazy. Most people, when they read the story, they think that the guy couldn't walk. He could. He just told you he could. He said, and when I am going, another steps in front of me. You can walk the whole time. So for 38 years, you've been sitting in a sea of misery. You've been sitting in a seat of frustration. Why aren't things happening for me? When am I going to get my break? When is my moment going to come? And for 38 years, it's because you told yourself you couldn't walk. And you could walk the whole time. You told yourself you couldn't have it. You couldn't do it. And so I think sometimes our greatest enemy is our inner me that keeps us from choosing to live.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What did the guy end up doing?
Great question. Jesus ignores his excuses. And I think that's the same thing that happens in life, is that we're going to be given these moments where our excuses are just ignored. You know, if you look at my background, born in Denver, raised in the inner city of Memphis, Tennessee, grew up with an abusive stepfather to my mother. He was an abuser. He was a womanizer. Lots of things you see in a man that you don't want to see. That environment, I saw drugs, I saw gangs, I saw drugs, I saw all of that. I could have looked at that and said, you know what, this is what it is. This is what it's going to be. But there was something in me that just said, there's greater. There's greater for me. There's got to be more to life than this. And so just like that, this guy, Jesus ignores his excuses. Like, okay, I'm not going to ignore you. I'm ignoring your excuses. Don't even want to hear that. And he says, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Take up your bed is a little misleading in the way it's phrased because it makes it seem like carry this with you. But in Greek, it actually means get rid of it, throw it away, throw it away. And so he literally says, get rid of your excuses. The only reason you haven't gone, as we've been saying, green light, and you've stayed on red light is you had this comfortable bed you've been laying on that kept you comfortable for 38 years. Now, if he had been there for 38 years, we can properly presume that the man was in his late 40s, maybe even 50s. So here we are. He is at an age where many people are asking questions about life, asking questions about what's next, what am I going to do? And he is literally given permission to do what he needed to do. Like Jesus never said be healed because he didn't need a healing. He never said, spirit come out. It wasn't some demonic satan. No, he just said, do it. Like, here's your permission that you've been waiting on for 38 years. Now, here's the trip. You never needed it. You've had the permission the whole time. So you put your own life on hold for 38 years, waiting on a permission that you never needed. And I think that's why that's so powerful to me. This is most people, and again, coaching and counseling people of every background, every race, every socioeconomic background, I see the same things. People say, well, I can't because of this. I can't because of that. I can't do it because of this. And the reality is you already have permission. The light is green. Sabriel.
What happens if it doesn't work? How do I know that it's going to turn out?
Great question. Here's the deal. You don't. Like, nothing is guaranteed. So you don't know that. Here's what you do know. Do you know what you're currently getting? So you have to make the decision that, is this the life you want to keep living? Like, that man is surrounded by blind people, lame people, paralyzed people, sick people. So you're surrounded by people who they have real legitimate issues. I'm not negating those issues. And you've grown so comfortable in that environment that you know that you know what to expect. Comfort and change cannot exist in the same place. So you have to choose your heart. Change is hard. Comfort is hard. Choose your heart. Winning is hard, losing is hard, choose your heart. Succeeding is hard, failing is hard, choose your heart. You don't know that it's gonna work. You don't know that things are gonna go well. You don't know. But what you do know is that you're dissatisfied with where it currently is. And I think therein lay, you know, the old story about the boiling frog. I think many people get so caught up as boiling frogs that sometimes it takes a jolt of something to happen in life to make us aware, like, wait a minute, like, what's going on? What's happening? I got to do something about this. But therein lay the whole concept of faith. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to turn out. You don't know what's going to happen if you reach out. You don't know what's going to happen if you try to reconcile that relationship. Maybe they say, no, hey, I hate your guts. I don't want to talk to you again. Okay, but I did my part. I'm only responsible for sowing. I don't control the harvest. I'm only responsible for the seeds I release through my actions, through my words. I'm not responsible for what comes on the other end. So in business, I would coach people to say, create input goals, not output goals. So I can only control what I can input. I can't control the output.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
It strikes me that either through the amount of information that we're constantly taking in and getting hit with, and it's my own fault for going on the internet or going on X or whatever.
Okay.
And it feels like there's these huge problems. And I feel like that can be demotivating sometimes because what can I do about these horrible issues that I'm reading about? How do you counsel people to sort of deal with, I guess, modern living and so much information?
Yeah. Listen, all you got to do, if any of us opens our feed right now, what's amazing is we're going to see a bunch of stuff that we don't even subscribe to, that we didn't even want to see, right? The algorithm's going to feed us a bunch of information. And for most people, they get their news now through social media. They don't watch traditional media. And so what that tells us is that, one, some of that is just going to be put in front of you. And here's what I say to people is, I can control what's put in front of me, but what I can control is what I let it do to me. I can't, as you're swiping, things are going to pop up. And it doesn't mean you put your head in the sand and you pretend like there's nothing going on in the world. There's no issues in the world. They're not challenges in the world. But before you can change the world, you've got to change your world. And so what I often say to people is, look at that. Don't be affected by that in a negative way. I'm not saying don't have empathy. I'm not saying don't be concerned. I'm not saying don't use your voice and do something about those things that you believe, you know, you can have an impact in. But the reality is, you got to change your world first. Remember on the air, well, they still do it today, but on every flight, they do this interesting thing pre-flight. They will say, in the event of a depressurization in the cabin, the little mask is going to pop down out of the ceiling. And here's what they say. Put your mask on first before trying to help anybody else. And then they'll tell the parents, parents, put your mask on first before you even try to help your kids. Because the principle is that if there's a depressurization, you lose consciousness and you were so busy trying to help everybody else get their masks on, you're out of here. That same principle really applies to life, is that I can see all of these issues and that I can be moved by all of these issues. Lots of these issues we do our best to get involved with and add value where we can. But I know that if I don't put my mask on first, I can't help anybody else put their mask on. Same thing is true. You don't let it overwhelm you. You don't let it desensitize you. You don't let it get you down. And I know, I used to listen to the news all day at my house, right? My TV was locked to CNN all day. It was just something playing in the background. And I noticed I was more negative. I was more pessimistic. I was more cynical. And I'm not criticizing the network. I'm criticizing the fact that I let this information, you know, it's just the news. Everybody was like, oh God. I'm listening to all these stories and I let that negativity get in me. So I said, I got to turn this off, not because I don't want to know what's going on, but I have to make sure that what's going on isn't getting at me so that now I'm not putting my mask on and it just feels like it's so hopeless. Why even try? Why even do this? You got more life to live. You got a pulse. There's still a plan.
You need to be good stewards of what we're consuming with food and with information and everything.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's important rather for us to be cognizant about those types of things. Because again, I didn't even recognize it and realize it. I'm just having it play in the background. And I just said, oh my God, like this is negatively impacting me because all day I'm hearing these stories. And again, they're just, you know, it's just reporting information, but the way that information is received, perceived, and acted on is completely subject to us. And so my whole philosophy is really simple. It's put my mask on first. And so when I see a story, I say, wow, it's unfortunate. Maybe I'll pray about it. Maybe we'll send some resources. Maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe I'll get involved. Maybe I'll make a call to, a politician, whatever I got to do. If it's an issue that I want to take action on, then I keep it moving. I put my mask on and I keep it moving because at the end of the day, there's always going to be stuff going on. There's always going to be things going on in the world. The things we're seeing now, and I love this saying, this one guy, he did an amazing sort of history of humanity and empires and the rise and falls of empires and all that. And he said a line that sticks with me to this day. He said, while it may be new in our lifetime, it's not new in history. So nothing we're looking at is new in history, just maybe new in our lifetime. And so for me, that was very comforting because sometimes we can think, oh my God.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's never been like this. It's never been like this. Well, maybe in our lifetime, it's never been like this. But in history, it's happened, and history keeps on moving. It's happened and things keep on marching. It happens and things keep on going. And so, for me, that phrase sticks with me to this day because I just can't let it overwhelm you.
You got to keep it moving for sure.
And yeah.
I feel like that's going to be the same answer to this question. When we are facing so much uncertainty with artificial intelligence and all that stuff, I think it would be tough to be a young person. Say, should I be going to college? Should I be learning to code? Is there any point to any of it? Should I become a plumber? How do you counsel people?
Yeah, you know, such a good point and it really does. It really does go back to that. It's keep living as if you're going to keep living, right? Keep living as if you're going to keep living because Many of those, I even look a lot of times when I'm coaching some of my individuals who have a lot of investments and things like that, and they're really sort of, I'll say post-work, if you will, or post-career. And sometimes, oh, what should I do? The stocks and this and that and this and that and that. And I don't give, that's not my wheelhouse to give financial advice as a fiduciary. However, my statement is always keep living as if you're going to keep living. Anything can happen at any moment. Like, just think about it. I'm a big lover in nature and geography and weather in particular. And I have this fascination about tornadoes. I've had it since I was a kid. I can't tell you why. I just, the movie Twister, Twisters 2. I mean, I remember going to see that movie as a kid, sitting on the front row with my best friend Brian. Like, I remember the whole thing. And I've had a fascination for that. And sometimes you look at these disasters that happen, and one day life is great for people, and then a twister will hit, and the next day, what they've spent years building is gone just like that. I think 2 years ago, when my grandfather, who was a very healthy man, they said he had the body of a 30 or 40-year-old, very healthy, took care of himself, all of the things that you're supposed to do. And just like that, he went into the hospital on a Wednesday. For he had bumped his head, he was just feeling a little different. Went on a Wednesday. They said there was an aneurysm that they needed to just go in quickly, operate on. They said it'll take less than an hour. He'll be out. He'll be up and walking a day later. Well, what's supposed to take an hour takes hours, and that next day he falls into a coma. And to one of your earlier points, I'm a man of faith. So we're praying. I found the lady who had went through the same type of situation that he did. I found the lady. She was the sister-in-law of a lady that I sat on a board with. I said, get her to this hospital right now. She got down to the hospital. I said, you have survived this. Pray for my grandfather and the whole family in there. I said, tell us your story. And she just told us how she just woke up one day and all of that. And it was just an amazing story of faith. And I remember going through that whole journey and then being called to an emergency meeting and saying, you know what? It looks like there's little brain activity. And the family looks at me and says, Bishop, what do you say? I said, well, little doesn't mean none. I said, we fight. Next day, called to an emergency meeting. It's even less brain activity. I said, well, less still doesn't mean none. I said, we fight. And then on that final day, having him pronounce him officially as deceased. And I remember, going through that and looking at that and saying, in less than a week, he went from walking around, talking, living his life, to gone. So what's the point of sharing that story? Is that his life changed, our lives changed instantaneously. So we didn't plan for that. We didn't anticipate that. We didn't see that coming. We didn't know that was coming, but it came. And it happened. And so I said to anybody, live your life as you're going to keep living. Anything could happen to anybody at any moment. So if you're walking around fearful and scared, like, oh my God, what if I do? Can't do that. Live your life like you're going to keep living it.
Amen. Nothing is promised.
Yeah, nothing is promised.
Well, Bishop Foreman, thank you so much for coming back on the show. I appreciate it. It's good to talk to you as always.
Likewise.
Where can people learn more? How can they engage with you?
Absolutely. BishopForeman.com. That's the website. We got books, we got messages, we got music, we got more. Everything that you need is there. That latest book, History Makers, I think people are going to love it because it talks a little bit about what we talked about today, which is how do you navigate and operate from your life and use your life to change the lives of other people. And so it's an amazing opportunity for people to grow, and they can get all that at bishopforeman.com. And if they're watching or listening and something has positively impacted your life, we would love for you to shoot me a message over on Instagram at Bishop Foreman. I get 700 messages a day, so it takes me a while to respond, but I do respond. Just let me know, hey, Bishop, this really encouraged me. Hey, Bishop, this really blessed me. I'd love to get that type of feedback. And then, of course, on all social networks, at Bishop Foreman, Foreman.
Excellent. If you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Bishop Foreman your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to bishopforeman.com. Check out everything that he is working on. Pick up your copy of History Makers and shoot him a message on Instagram. And I'll link all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Bishop.
Appreciate it. Have a good day. Thank you
as well. Till next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.